Blog Talk Radio.
Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless your wonderful name. For God is truly worthy to be praised. He's worthy of all the honor, and he is worthy of all the praises. Oh, yes, he is. And again, we're back with you with another broadcast. Saturday with the Word. Oh, yes. We're here, and we are excited about it. God is awesome. This is Kingdom Builders International, Prophetess Teresa Docks, our internet radio broadcast every Saturday at 7 p.m. Central Time. Welcome to Kingdom Builders International radio broadcast, where God truly is getting all the glory. Where thou kingdom come, and you can come in, glory to God, just as you are. And I'll tell you, when you come, you will not leave the same. And we are so thankful to God for honoring us and trusting us and giving us this assignment to assist in ministering to God's people. Through teaching and preaching and praying, the laying of hands, the casting out of demons. Oh, yes. And you know, it's a serious assignment. And we trust that you realize that it's also your responsibility to help to build up God's kingdom. And we pray that you understand the total focus is building up others. For the kingdom's sake, not for our own personal glory. So I'm just asking you to join in with me with a word of prayer. Reba Shata Roboshe. Glory to your name, Jesus. For truly you're worthy. You're worthy, God. You're worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy, God. And we honor you today. Father, we ask you that you would cover these lines with the blood of Jesus. For we know that the blood still works. And God, we ask you in the name of Jesus that you would hide me behind the cross and allow the people, Lord God, to hear what you're saying. We ask you to speak, Lord. Speak, Holy Spirit. Let me open my mouth. And as I open my mouth, let thou kingdom come. Yes, in the name of Jesus. As we are waiting for the King of glory, to come in. Father, we just ask you right now that you would allow your people to hear what you have to say. To your church. I bind up any backlashes, any retaliatory spirits. I take authority over any illegal activities Rabashe Toroboshe, in the name of Jesus. Father, we glorify you, we magnify you, God, for whom all glory is due, in the mighty, matchless, wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Yes, we say amen, and we say glory to your name, Jesus. Well, again, we thank you for being committed to the teaching that has been going forth for the last, this is the fourth week. And we pray that you have really been blessed and that you are enjoying the abundant blessings of God, not just today, but in the days to come. I want you to remember that your success is measured in the number of people that you effectively serve. Because as you serve God's people, you are serving the kingdom. You're serving God. So we just want to thank you once again for tuning in to another broadcast. You can go to the website, www.blogtalkradio.com/Kingdom Builders International. You'll be able to listen to the broadcast in archives. And again, before we get started, we want to encourage you, if you like what we're doing, if you've been blessed, we want to encourage you to sow into the ministry. For God has given big plans, big visions to reach the masses as we are preparing for our international mission trip. We just want to ask you to sow into what we're doing. You can go to our website, www.kingdombuildersplaza.org, or you can send us an email, and we'll be more than happy to touch base with you to make sure that happened, that seed will be sown into good ground. And also, you can also give us a call, area code 312-574-0212. Well, God bless you, and we're going to go forth with the teaching, and we just pray that you are in a place where you can hear the voice of the Lord. For truly, God is moving, God is working, and we're going to be talking about tonight strategies of warfare and intercession. You know, as we intercede, truly the enemy wants to attack our intercession. So what he does is he wants to attack us. So we want to talk tonight about strategies. And we're going to start with the two kingdoms. So you can know as you pray and as you intercede that there's two kingdoms that we're dealing with. And we want you to be aware of the two kingdoms. And we're sure you probably already know, but there's many pictures of God's people in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And in Ephesians, God's people were dealing with a lot of situations. We're going to start with Ephesians, where the army, this army, the two opposing kingdoms, we know that what the kingdoms are. The kingdom of God, and then we got the kingdom of darkness. Glory to God. And there's nothing in between. The kingdom of God, which is the New Jerusalem, the descending city. The kingdom of God in the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of God represents the host of heaven. And the kingdom of darkness is the host of hell. And then we understand that with the kingdom of darkness, it's descending to Babylon. It's the principalities of the air, the headquarters, and the seat of Satan. Oh, yes, he's real. Don't be deceived. The kingdom of God and the New Jerusalem is the capital of the universe. That's how I like to see it. The kingdom, you know how every city have a capital. Every state have a capital. I'm sorry. Well, the kingdom of God, New Jerusalem, is the capital of the universe. And I'm going somewhere with this teaching tonight. Thank you, Jesus. We know who is seated in the kingdom of hell, Satan, and he's the father of lies. And then in the host of heaven is God the Father of all spirits, Jesus Christ the Lord. You know, and then we have the living and the righteous and the just rule. And we're going to go further in the teaching of the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of God. And we want you to understand that when you begin to pray, immediately the enemy's ears are open. He began to try to hinder what God is doing through you. And we're going to give you scriptures. You know, we have to fight a good fight. And what's a good fight? We conduct spiritual warfare. See, it's very important in our lives, every born-again believer, that we realize that the enemy tried to tear down anything that God is doing. He tries to destroy anything or anyone that God is building. So he will attack us. He'll attack our families. He will attack anything close to us. So that's why we have to be well-equipped, well-rounded, and well-qualified by knowing who we are in Christ. I want you to read Numbers 32 and 68. And as you turn to that scripture, you know, the enemy is like in a contest with God. And he will never reach his goal to obtain the spiritual progress, the prize. He will never get the crown. See, the prize of the high calling of those that are in Christ Jesus is with a tremendous struggle. So we don't get it easily, but we stay in the battle, and guess what? We win. The scripture reads, "Shall ye your brethren go to war, and shall ye sit here?" So shall your brethren go to war, and ye sit here? No. See, if we intend to be one of those who sit on the fence or stay neutral or never wrestle with the powers and the principalities of the air, you know, over blood-bought victories, then we probably will never hear those words from Jesus. What did Jesus, "You good and well done, my good and faithful servant"? See, if you're busy withstanding those who are wrestling and casting out devils, and you may hear the word, "Depart from me, ye worker of iniquity." So we have to begin to understand that the battle is truly fought in the soul of man. And we're going to break it down to you so you can understand where we're going with this. And the first thing that we want to put emphasis on is the nature of the war, the two opposing kingdoms. Listen to this. in Ephesians 6, it's talking about the army is committed to fight a war. Well, as intercessors, we're in the battle. We're on the front line. So you have been enlisted in the army of the Lord. And the war is a global war. And it will affect and include every portion of the globe on which we live. So we're not just the only one in the war. But to be in the war, you have to know that you're in a war. And then you have to know, because you're in a war, you must have spiritual strategies. Because the Bible tells us about these spiritual strategies. And I'm going to start with one of the strategies that is so effective. In Ephesians 6, 10 through 12, listen to this. And I'm going to read from the NIV version. And then I'm going to compare it to a couple other versions. Listen what the Word of God says. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Listen to this verse. Put on the full armor of God so that you may take your stand against whose scheme? The devil's scheme. So that lets you know that the enemy has some plots and has some schemes. And so we have to have on the full armor so that we can stand against every strategy, every trap that the enemy is trying to set. See, Paul take it for granted that as Christians, we are involved in a war. But we need to appropriate the armor. We need to know how to appropriate the armor, and that our adversary, which is the devil, the enemy, that as he go out to trap us, to set plots and schemes, then and in verse 12, as we go on to verse 12, I want to fully explain the nature of this war. And as we know that we're in a war, and as we have on our full armor so that we can stand when the enemy strike. Verse 12 reads, for our struggle, listen to this, is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So I'm telling you, when we tap in to a heavenly place, when we allow the spirit man to pray, we begin to tap into a supernatural realm. And the Word talks about the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. And we're going to go a little deeper because I want you to understand what I'm talking about. I'm going to read from the New American Standard Version. And I said I'm going to read a couple of versions, and we're going to see what the different translations have to say. Again, Ephesians 12, for our struggle is not with flesh and blood, but against rulers, against powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenlies, in heavenly places. See, the Living Bible, you know, it's not exactly a literal translation, but it kind of like paraphrase it. Listen to what it says. For we are not wrestling against people. I want you to get it. Because a lot of times, that's where we miss it. Because we begin to wrestle with people. Flesh. See, people made of flesh and blood, but against persons without bodies. Listen to this. The evil rulers of the unseen world. those mighty satanic forces, those beings, those great evil prince of darkness who rule the world, and against huge numbers of wicked spirits in the spirit world. So we know that there's a natural world, and guess what? There's a spiritual realm that is just as prevalent, if not more, than the natural realm. So whenever, whatever version you wish to read, or whether it's the King James, the NIV, the New Standard Version, whatever version, it is clear that we are engaged in a battle, a titanic conflict. And it staggers the mind to consider, you know, I went in meditation often, and even for a long period of time, about Ephesians 6 and 12. In the original Greek version that I came up with my own paraphrase of it, you know, you might call it, I like to call it my version, my interpretation. So listen to what I picked up when I was reading this. For our wrestling match is not against flesh and blood, not against persons with bodies, but against rulers with various areas and descending orders of authority, against the world's denominators of this present darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenlies. And let me explain why I choose to use these words, because, you know, I say rulers of various areas and descendant order of authority, because that's the picture of a very highly structured and well-organized kingdom in descending orders of authority and different rulers and sub-rulers. And that's the same way that the kingdom of God is established. So, you know, each territory has a different responsibilities. And, you know, when I say denominators, in the world denominators of this present darkness, see, the term denominator, it describes the very Satan way that Satan treats people in the human race. So we have to understand that the kingdom of darkness is structured. Because what does Satan do? He organized everything as God did. Everything God did, what Satan did. He tried to do it, but guess what? He couldn't breathe the breath of life, because he don't have life. What is he? Death. He come to kill, steal, and destroy. So what Satan did is he tried to emulate everything that our Father has done and made. So as we wrestle, not with people, but with, it's a spiritual thing. In other words, all we need to do is to sit in a church pew and sing a song. And listen to this. And Paul say that we're in a wrestling match, let alone begin to pray. You can just sing a spiritual hymn. You're in a wrestling match. But it's not with flesh and blood. I want you to consider a wrestling match, a conflict between two persons. And every part of the body, every skill, every trick must be used to succeed, to win. And I'm not giving the enemy any glory, but Satan is highly organized. And in the kingdom of God, it's important that we're organized. It's important that we know who we are. It's important that we go through our tests and our trials. And as we grow and go out to become kingdom ambassadors and understand who we are in Christ, and we begin to crush the enemy's head because of our knowing our identity, it caused the enemy to flee when we know who we are and we know whom we are. See, it is in that kingdom of God, the headquarters, that heavenly region, that we defeat the enemy with the word of God, with our prayers, as we understand that we must learn the word of God. We must learn how to fight in the spirit realm. So as we begin to pray, guess what happened? The enemy began to attack us immediately. You know, he want us not to bring forth manifestations through our faith. So we began to fight in the spirit when we pray in our heavenly language. When we pray in our natural language, oh yes, we're in a fight. We're in a fight. But when we begin to tap in the spiritual language, in our heavenly language, you know, then we know that the battle is on. The battle is on. Now, what kind of fight are we putting up? You know, are we a good warrior where we understand that when we begin to pray, that God is going to speak? When we begin to pray, we should understand that the enemy is going to try to manifest. You know, it's not just where we just pray and everything is holly-dory. No, when we pray, the enemy get activated. And I'm going to give you some examples of how the work of darkness will come when prayers are going forth. You know, we talked about our faith, and our faith can crush the enemy. It's a tool that we can use to quench those darts. So if we believe that what we're praying, when we pray, the Bible says that we should have what we say. So as we abide in Christ and allow his word to abide in us, whatever we ask, we'll have it. Now, the enemy wants to deceive us to make us feel that we're not going to have what we say or what we ask for. But we're fighting this good fight of faith. We're fighting over Job. I'm going to ask you to turn to Job 3. Job 3, and I'm going to read the B clause, where it says, "And exhort you that you may earnestly contend for the faith." See, these powers of darkness are fighting to overthrow our faith. When we pray, to dilute, to debate, to divert, to overthrow, or to convince us that it's not going to happen. You know, and Paul said, fight. Paul said what? Wrestle. Paul said war. Listen, 1 Timothy 6 and 12, he said, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hands on eternal life, whereunto there art also called, and have professed a good profession before many witnesses. Listen, what I'm trying to say is, it's imperative that when we pray, that we understand that spiritual warfare must be conducted, because guess what? The enemy is not going to let us go into the throne room without putting up a fight. So we have to. Sometime you might go into a church, you might go into a room, and you might immediately, you pick up in your spirit, something ain't quite right in here. Or you might pick up in your spirit, discernment of spirit. you know, you might begin to discern what has happened in the spirit realm. And, you know, that's a weapon that we use as intercessors. That's something that we use, you know, we have to be able to discern spirits. We have to be able to know that we can try the spirit by the spirit to know if it's God. So we can't just go in a place and be blindsided. So these are things that I encourage you to use, because guess what? These are aids to recognize the principal evil spirits that's now working in the world. See, if you can try a spirit, it will enable you to effectively know what you're dealing with. So as an intercessor, it's extremely important that we're keen to try the spirit. And you know, I'll give you examples of different spirits. I mean, people can say something, and immediately they really identify what spirit's in operation. You know, being a prophet of God, being a servant of the Master, you know, I found that it's extremely necessary to discern spirits. You must be able to discern spirits. See, the Lord led me to begin prayer meetings and develop intercessors and even to do deliverance and healing. He said miracles, signs, and wonders shall follow us. But that comes because, guess what? You're discerning what spirit you're dealing with. So it's important that we don't react. See, Jesus was really, if you think about his character, he was cool, he was calm, he was collected the majority of the time. I mean, oh yes, he had to do what he had to do. He was balanced. But the majority of the time, he was slow to speak. And when he spoke, guess what? It carried volume. It carried weight. So be slow to speak. And when you speak, you'll be just like Jesus. Because you'll think before you say anything. Discern what spirits are in activation when you go around people, and even when you're not around people. Because guess what? Those disembodied spirits, they seek whom they may devour. So they'll leave one body, and they'll find another body to rest in. Have you ever been around someone, and they begin to talk, and they begin to share, and then before you know it, you start picking up something that maybe was old in your life. You know, you might say, well, I'm just going to have a little drink, and ain't nothing wrong with having a drink. And then before you know it, you might be thinking, you know what, they right. You know, maybe I need this drink for my stomach's sake. See, that's why we have to be the thermometer. We set the atmosphere. We set the pace. You know, if you got someone that has a cursing demon on them, but when they come in your presence, Rabba Sheto, they recognize who you are in Christ. So that cursing demon bows to your authority just because you're there. So, again, I'm getting back to spiritual discernment. We have to discern what's in operation. You know, spirits, they can stir up and they can manifest themselves. See, when a demon, when you begin to do warfare, or you're probably already doing warfare, but if you ask the demon to identify himself, out of that person's own mouth, the demon will tell you who he is. I mean, for instance, the demon might even reply, I'm hate, or murder, or suicide. And all of these are manifestations. They're not named of the spirit, but they're manifestations. Listen to it, hate, hate is a manifestation of the spirit that that is resident in that person. Murder, suicide, manifestations. So, you know, I don't know, you know, when you go into a room and you begin to discern spirits by what they say, you know where they're coming from. You know, I had a woman of God say to me, because I understand that life and death is in the power of the tongue. And the Word of God says that they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. And yes, it's a good thing to be balanced and have, you know, we can have fun as Christians, as believers. But you have to be able to discern spirits. And you have to know where to draw the line, where to draw the limit. So the woman of God said to me, she said, you know, she was, you know, cracking jokes and she was saying things and, you know, I'm saying to myself, you know, the Bible says a fool is of many words. And so the woman of God began to talk and talk and talk. And the scripture came to me. And so, you know, you discern spirits. So I apply the word to it. I'm hearing her talk. And so she began to crack these jokes. And the jokes that she was saying, you know, I didn't find them funny. And that was okay because I just didn't find them funny. But I knew that she was trying to plant a seed, that the spirits inside of her. And she said to me, she said, "Prophetess, you know, God has a sense of humor." And that was her way of trying to get me to begin to laugh at her jokes. And then I said to her, you know, to everything there's a season. So it's a time to laugh, and you know, it's a time to cry. So there's a time for everything. So we have to know when God is sending us on an assignment to a person, and we're there to discern some things so that we can eventually become a blessing to them. Listen, demons reap habit. They will bring discord. They will try to destroy. They're against unity. They're against fellowship. They're against everything that God has commanded us to do. Everything that God has commanded us to possess, those demons are totally against it. So as you begin to discern what spirit is in operation, you listen to what is being said, you listen to what is being done, you pay attention, and you really have to be a good listener. You know, so when you go into anywhere, don't go in talking. Don't go in trying to be seen. Go in unassuming. Go in, be laid back, and begin to discern. Begin to ask God to show you the region, the atmosphere, what you're dealing with, because you can't just go anywhere and you'll be blindsided if you don't operate in the gift of discernment. You have to discern. So try, you know, you try the spirit by their fruit, and then you'll know who they are by the fruit they bear, by the things that they say. And you know, I want to make this point real clear, because as intercessors, we have to have a strategy for battle. So we have to say, okay, before I go to battle, I'm going to ask God to show me what I'm dealing with, to show me, and I'll tell you every single time, God will show up, God will give you, he'll speak if you listen. And as you begin to say, what? Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. He'll speak. He will speak. I'm just going to take a short break, and I'll be right back. We want God to speak, you know, and as we tap in as intercessors, I'll tell you, God will speak. He will speak. So we have to be in a place spiritually to allow God to speak. You know, sometimes too much is going on in our lives, and we don't take the time to get in the presence, to hear his voice. So as I was saying, as an intercessor, we have to have spiritual discernment. We have to be able to try the Spirit by the Spirit to know if it's God. You know, we can't believe every spirit. You know, the Bible says that there's what? False prophets, there's false teachers, false pastors. You know, there's a spirit that the enemy, he'll try to use you, even you and I, if we are not careful. You know, sometimes we'll find ourselves saying some things that we know we shouldn't be saying. And that's why it's important that we lay hands on ourselves and we begin to command spirits to leave our bodies. You know, we have an anointing. We have authority to make our flesh obey us. We should be able to realize that as Christians, as believers, that we need to walk in divine healing. We need to, again, realize that sometimes you can be around other people, and before you know it, you're acting just like them. You know, before you know it, you may not realize it, but just say, for instance, if you are around familiar spirits, you know, and their job they have an assignment. And as they are assigned to do certain things, they work in the family's bloodline, and they try to overthrow the family. Because what they do is they bring people under Satan's devices, familiar spirits. So we have to, you're around certain spirits. And, you know, yes, this is my friend, or yes, this is my family, or yes, this, you know, my child, or whoever it is. We have to understand, as believers, as intercessors, we have to be careful where we go, what we do when we get there. And we only go where God sent us to go. We only say what God tells us to say, because we are in a spiritual battle. And because we're in this spiritual battle, and I'm on the point of how to try a spirit, how to use spiritual discernment, listen to what they say. Listen to what they do. You know, listen to how they love. Listen to how they give. You know, we know what the fruit of God is. We understand love and joy and peace and long-suffering. You know, we know the fruit of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit. But guess what? The enemy also has fruit. And those fruit are just the opposite of the fruit of God. So those fruit are assigned to Satan. His characteristics are what? Hate, murder, deception, you know, and it go on and on. So we try the Spirit by the Spirit. What am I dealing with? You know, a liar. Well, guess what? Satan, he's the father of lies. You know, we don't take that lightly. God is the what? The Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth. So how do we discern spirits? We try the Spirit by the Spirit. We see what fruit he's bearing. I'm going to say he, but what fruit that person is bearing. So then we can look beyond the person, and we can see in the spirit. We can see the spiritual part of them by what they say and what they do, and they might be talking just in general about things that concern them and how they respond. You know, they might say little idle words, and so you have to pay attention to that. Because the enemy is so subtle. So when we begin to pray, you know, sometimes we're able to tap right in to God's glory, to the realm of the Spirit. And sometimes we can tap in and just go right straight into worship. And then there's other times where we have to do battle. It might be distractions in the room, or it might be the enemy may have launched an attack. So we have to begin praying during spiritual warfare. And when we begin, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And whether we realize it or not, we're involved in this battle daily, you know, against evil forces. We are involved. We're in the battle. So we can't just think we're going to pray and then we turn around and this situation is happening and that situation is happening. You know, we have to cover our loved ones, cover ourselves with the blood of Jesus. Use the weapons that God has given us. You know, we have to put on the whole armor. You know, the Bible says that when we resist the devil, that he'll run from us. So we don't stop there. Guess what? We chase him. We chase him. I want you to get this. How do we chase him? See, we launch an outright attack against him. And we can't be lazy. We have to be vigilant. You know, we bind up Satan's strong man. We destroy his works. And we pull down strongholds. We nullify his works. You know, we just cleanse his victims. We heal the sick. We set them free with our words, and we work the work that Jesus has reminded us to do forever. And I think it's Isaiah 47, 12 through 14. We get into the heat of the battle because we can't be lukewarm. The Bible says God will spew us out of his mouth. So we got to stop fighting other people. The Bible says a house divided against itself cannot stand. So we stop fighting our brethren. Who do we fight against? We're in a fight with the enemy. So we have to band together. You know, Numbers 32, 6 and 7, I'm going to read the B clause, where it says, shall your brethren go to war, and shall ye sit here? And wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from over, going over into the land where the Lord has given thee? You know, we're waiting on the blessing, but we're not ready to go to war. You know, my father would always say, well, how bad do you want it? He wanted to know, how much would you do to get what you're asking me to do for you? You know, I would ask him for certain things, and he would say, well, how bad do you want it? You know, what are you willing to do to get it? What are you willing to do to get it? You know, and that's the same thing in this battle. You know, we began to crush the enemy's skull as we pray. So we began to do spiritual warfare. And I'll tell you, our words have so much power. God has endowed us with power. So if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, you know, and I say this, and I want to encourage the listeners, you know, if you pray in the natural, it does not take away your salvation. The Bible says if you believe in your heart, confess Jesus as Lord, the Bible says that thou shalt be saved. But guess what? When you are endowed with God's power, the Bible says what? That you shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Miracles, signs, and wonders shall follow you. See, when the Holy Spirit came, and they were endued with power, things changed. They began to what? Speak in other tongues. So God wants us to know that he's given us power over all of the power of the enemy. And the enemy, when he knows that you know who you are, he'll flee. When you pray with authority, see, it's in the blood of Jesus. It's because of what he did. It's not our righteousness that we can stand and pray in authority. We're standing proxy to Jesus. So we're standing there praying as though we are Jesus Christ himself. Because he's our brother. God is our father. He's seated on the right-hand side of the Father. And the Bible says that we're seated in the heavenlies. So if you can place that in your spirit, that you're seated with Christ Jesus, knowing that you're not a defeated foe, and you pray with power and authority, and God will begin to speak to you. And when he begins to speak, that's the ultimate. You want him to speak. Because guess what? When he speaks, what comes forth? Revelation. What comes forth? The word of wisdom. What comes forth? The word of knowledge. Oh, yes. It will come forth. And that's what the enemy does not want to come forth. Because he know that manifestation of what we're praying will come forth. Just say you're trying to do something and you don't have a strategy, you don't know where to start, you know you got the vision, you know you want it to happen. Well, you need the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the word of revelation to come forth so that you can know how to bring forth a manifestation. So that's why the enemy fight us when we pray, because he wants all these distractions so that we can't get into God's glory, so that we won't tap in. And then, see, we can really reign in the glory. See, it's the battle of the mind. If you reign in God's glory, you can stay there. If you know who you are, you know what God says about you, not what the doctor says, not what people say. You are an overcomer. You know, the doctor diagnosed different diseases based on symptoms, based on manifestations. And that's the same way we can discern the enemy, based on manifestations, based on symptoms, based on what the person may say or do. So when we reign in authority in the realm of the spirit, that's when God begins to speak. And that's what the enemy fights the most. So you might hear God, and guess what? Then fear might come and say, well, you know what? I'm not going to say that because I don't know if I'm right. Well, it has nothing to do with you. It's according to your faith, be it unto you. It's a spiritual thing. See, we are a spirit. And the Bible says that we must worship him in spirit and in truth. So when we speak that prophetic word, it is a form of worshiping God. Because he's using our voice as the voice of God. So as an intercessor, the place that we're trying to go is that place where God speaks, where exhortation will come forth. See, people will get healed and set free. So the enemy don't want people to be set free. He want people to stay in bondage. He want people to stay sick. He want people to stay depressed. He want the spirit of bondage to rule their lives. He want the people to feel like, well, I can't do this. He want people to be in despair. He want financial distractions. Whatever the enemy can launch against our minds, oh, yes, he is going to try to do it. But as a believer, we're seated with him in heavenly places, Ephesians 2 and 6. See, Christ, as I was saying, he's seated far above all rules and authority, Ephesians 1 and 20. So I want you to know that you reign in authority. And when you pray, and when you believe that you have what you say, because who God say you are, you'll see the manifestation. It'll come forth. If you believe and don't doubt, you know, if you come against the lies that's been said, even about you, you know, tear those things down, smash them. And in closing, I just want to say just a couple more things, you know, what the word say about us. Truth. Truth tells me that I'm a child of God. Truth tells me that I'm a member of Christ's body. Truth tells me that I'm a saint. Truth tells me that I've been given a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Truth tells me that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Truth tells me that I cannot be separated from God's love. Truth tells me that I'm free from condemnation. And what does lies make you feel you're not able, you're not capable. Lies make you uncaring. Lies will make you be isolated and alone. Lies will make you compromise with sinners. Lies will make you unable to approach God. Lies will make you feel condemned. Lies will make you say, that's not God. Lies will make you fearful and powerless, useless, and make you feel unworthy. And lies will even take your energy away and make you feel unable to do anything. But guess what? It's got to be filtered out. Ignorance to truth. And as we embrace truth, the enemy is defeated. So as an intercessor, you know, practice spiritual warfare. Get those warfare scriptures. Smash those strongholds. Tell the enemy he's a father of lies. Tell him about himself. Remind him of his words. And then you go into the throne room. You begin to worship God. And guess what? When you get in the throne room, guess what happens? The master's touch. And when he touch you, he'll speak. And when he speak, he's trying to tell you something. He's trying to tell someone something so that they can get manifestations, so that they can get revelation on how to finish this, how to do this, what house to buy, what car to drive, where to go, where not to go, what to do, what to say, where to give, when not to give, so that you can be blessed among measures. And I'll tell you, as we're launching the warfare prayers on next week on Kingdom Daughters prayer line, Monday through Saturday, we will be doing warfare prayers. And we are going to shift the prayer line around a little bit next week, and we're going to see some manifestations. So I want to encourage all the listeners to make it your heartfelt desire to join us every day next week, because we're believing God for manifestations, for that house to come forth, for that car to come forth, for that husband, for that discernment, for that the spirit of wisdom to come forth, the spirit of knowledge. You know, for those supernatural things that you've been asking God for divine health, for that peace that you've been asking God for those needs to be met. So we want you to join us on the prayer line. You can call in area code 218-895-0280. And then you just press in the word pray, 7729. We're there 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday at 7 a.m. Central Time. And I'll tell you, as you join in, we're going to be praying. We're going to be praying in our heavenly language. There's going to be activation. There's going to be manifestation. And we're looking for those testimonies. Because guess what? The enemy is going to be defeated, and God is going to be exalted. So again, I want to encourage you in the Lord. If you like what we're doing, we encourage you to sow so that we can stay on the air, so that we can come forth with the vision that God has given us, so that we can do some things so that others may be blessed, so that intercessors can be birthed out. We encourage you to do this. You'll be sowing into good grounds, and I guarantee you that you will see the manifestation of your seed. It will come back 100-fold. God will never, ever fail you. And he's going to speak even more. So again, I want to thank you. And even those that are on the internet, those that have called in, I thank you for calling in and being faithful. And the ones that have been faithful to the four-week teaching, you know, we will be signing off on your class certificate. And as all the classes are completed, as Kingdom Development Institute, it will be online courses, and you'll be having a test on the 6th week. You can go and listen to the broadcast and archives. And what we're going to do is, after all the classes are completed, and we do a series of testing, and we're going to sign you to a pastor in your area, we will be doing licensing and ordination, because we want you to be equipped and qualified to go out and do the mission of God. That's our total assignment. We are assigned to build up God's people. So with that being said, we just say, speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. God is trying to tell you something. So we thank you for tuning in. If there's no questions, there's no remarks, you can press 1 on your phone. We'll give you a moment or so. And those that are on the internet, if you have a question or a comment, we'll be more than happy to read that comment. Thank you. We have one comment. It's saying, as an intercessor, does intercessors have demons? Of course. Does Christians have demons? That's why God said that we have to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So I'll tell you one thing. They overcame by the words of their testimony and the blood of the Lamb. So as we began to bind up, rebuke, cast out, we can do it on ourselves. Amen. I see another comment. Thank you, woman of God. Amen. Amen. Well, you can give us a call at area code 312-574-0212. Amen. Well, we're going to get ready to end the broadcast, but we want to say, as you stay in the presence of God, just always say to Him, speak, Lord. Yeah. We want to encourage everyone to have a blessed night. You, I would say.
Yes, I know that you can hear me, and I feel you always listen, oh my Father. Hear my prayer, hear my oh, whether Lord, it doesn't matter, 'cause you fail not. Waters flow when I pray, when I pray,
when I pray,
when I pray, when I pray, when I pray, when I pray.
Of Dr. Cindy Trim. As a best-selling author, life coach, and empowerment specialist, Dr. Trim has made it her life's goal to empower you to live with extraordinary meaning and purpose. Enjoy this life-changing message as Dr. Trim shows you how to maximize your greatest potential. And now, here is Dr. Cindy Trim.
Father, in the name of Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith, I arise to establish my legal right and dominion over this region and over every territory which you have given me jurisdictional authority. According to Daniel 9:4, you are the only great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love you and to them that keep your commandments. I appeal to the God who said in 2 Chronicles 7:13-16, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence amongst my people, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, I will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attend unto that prayer that is made into this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and my heart shall be perpetually there. I declare that this place is sanctified. I present my body as a living sacrifice by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, my Savior and Redeemer. Make these prayers holy and acceptable unto you. I confess my sins and the sins of our fathers. Let grace and mercy prevail over us. I declare I have a free passage for my prayers to ascend into the realm of the supernatural and will not be earthbound. I come into agreement with the supreme good of heaven. I am seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Therefore, war from this plane and realm. I declare that the anointing of God breaks every yoke. Open every portal and assign angels to reinforce me as I advance into new levels, new dimensions, new realms and territories. Let there be a breakthrough in the heavens. I tap into apostolic and prophetic veins. I shatter glass ceilings. I smash spiritual bars and iron membranes. I declare a breakthrough atmosphere is established. I recalibrate the spiritual climate and decree that every bit of lukewarmness must be replaced with the fire and the zeal of God. Baptize me with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Let there be fire in my mouth as I advance in this prayer. I take authority over demonic, satanic atmospheres and climates created by cultic activities, destiny-altering images, incantations, ill-spoken words, witchcraft, hostile environments, fear, terrorism, racial, ethnic hatred, violence. In the